96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Because our children can't afford to live anywhere. Nowhere. There's nowhere to go. Once again, why? You said it, the rent is too damn high.
That's Jimmy McMillan. You may remember him as a 2010 candidate for mayor of New York City. The colorful community activist called his political party the Rent is Too Damn High Party. Those sentiments could apply here in the nation's capital. A new report by the National Low Income Housing Coalition says D.C. has the second highest rental prices in America, second only to Hawaii. How did this happen? What does it mean? Well, joining me to discuss this issue is Linda Couch. She is Senior Vice President for Policy and Outreach for the National Low Income Housing Coalition, and Jim McGrath, Chairman of the D.C. Tenants Advocacy Coalition, or TENAC. The lines are open if you want to talk about this issue, if you have experiences with high rents. We'd like to hear your stories. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Linda and Jim, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Linda, let's talk a little bit about this report first. Kind of give me some highlights. When I first heard about it, historically, we've always heard that New York is the place where the high rents are. I mean, that's the way it always has been. Hawaii's always been high, but a lot of folks don't think about Hawaii because it's so far away. How did this happen? What does the report say?
The report is able to catapult D.C. to the second on the charts for state costs for housing, because the gap between what people are earning in D.C. and what it actually costs to rent an apartment is extremely wide. And unfortunately, this is obviously not a list anyone wants to be at the top of. But we know from the data that someone would have to earn more than $28 an hour to afford the average two-bedroom apartment in D.C. And so that $28 an hour puts D.C. second on the list of most expensive states.
And we're talking about just under $59,000 a year for a 40-hour work week for a year.
That's right. And so if the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in D.C. is about $1,470 a month, according to federal standards for affordability, someone would have to earn close to $4,900 a month to afford that almost $1,500 a month rent, which translates into this $59,000 a year, which would equal, if you were working 52 weeks a year, 40 hours a week, a little more than $28 an hour, which, mm-hmm. of course, is a far cry from D.C.'s $8.25 minimum wage.
It really is, you know, shocking. And I know there's been some, you know, discussion about rent control. We hear about rent control on the New York detective stories and all of that, and people kind of throw the term around. But what is the working definition for rent control, particularly here in the district?
Well, you know, we have what's called a model rent control law, mm-hmm. and it was passed at the same time Home Rule came into being in 1974. They call it model because it was intended to be copied and emulated by other jurisdictions across the United States. And many of them have copied the D.C. rent control law. It's designed to keep housing costs in rental housing affordable for whole classes of people, poor people, fixed-income people, low-income people, students, elderly, you name it. The problem here is that it's got a lot of holes in it, and the developers and the landlords have rushed in to capitalize on those holes. It's a great law if it's administered fairly and wisely, but right now it isn't.
How does it work? You mentioned 1974, so what does that have to do with how rent control works? Does it put a cap or a percentage on how much someone can charge you for an apartment?
Yes. the principal mechanism under rent control governs the annual rent increases. And the rent control law has historically kept a lid on the percentage allowed for annual increases. At one time, it was the consumer price index alone. The increase in the consumer price index was basically the maximum amount that you could raise a rent on an apartment. Now they've introduced something called CPI plus 2, which means 2% above CPI. And we believe that is grossly unfair because over time, that 2% is going to compound the cost of rental units to the point where it's going to eliminate the effectiveness of rent control entirely.
Mm-hmm. We have seen a huge explosion, just an incredible explosion in high-end rental places here. We've seen them, you know, not only in the entertainment district of U Street, we have seen them in and around Capitol Hill. We've seen them spring up, you know, condos and rentals, of course, in Southwest near the stadium. What is this doing to Washington, D.C.? Is it moving people out? Is it boxing people out? What would you say, Ms. Couch, that it's turning D.C. into?
I would say it is turning D.C. into a city of really the haves and the have-nots. The D.C. households who can comfortably afford the rents here have incomes that are higher, as we just said, than $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. But when you look at the D.C. households who are earning much less than that, less than around $30,000 a year, in D.C., you have more than 70% of those households paying more than half of their incomes for rent. And for those households, there are really dire consequences. So they might be living in really substandard housing. Studies have shown that those households are probably highly likely to be spending more than 40% less on food than non-poor families. You know, they have less money to spend on medication, on school supplies, on transportation. Families might be doubling up, maybe tripling up in situations where they maybe not want to be tripling up with those other households. And so the pressure that we're putting on these households in D.C., is really quite tremendous.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. I believe that's Gilda calling from Washington, D.C. Gilda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I have to thank you all for tackling this subject. This has been on my mind for the past 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And our current administration, to me, has totally ignored it. My daughter works every single day. She has two children. And it's so funny that you brought this up today. I went looking for an apartment for her today. The least amount I found was in a high crime area. And it's $920 a month plus electricity. She makes $10 an hour. So that's more than two paychecks that she has to accumulate to pay for just for them to live, for a roof over their head. What about the electricity? What about them eating? What about their clothing? It has become crucial.
Mm-hmm.
It is a major, major problem. The young ladies out here, and I get so tired of people saying that these children don't want anything, these young people don't want anything. They work every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're living with their parents. My daughter lives with me and her two children. They are living with their parents. They're living with a group of people. They work every day. They want better for themselves. But in this city, it has become unattainable.
Well, Gilda, I have to take a break. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much for sharing. When we come back, we'll take more phone calls and also talk about, you know, why this is happening and what determines the cost of rent. Is it like buying a home? Location, 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 or is it something else? We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about the high cost of renting in Washington, D.C. 202-319-7810. Or 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the high cost of renting an apartment in Washington, D.C. My guests are Linda Couch, Senior Vice President for Policy and Outreach for the National Low Income Housing Coalition, and Jim McGrath, Chairman of the D.C. Tenants Advocacy Coalition, or TENAC. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We will try to take your phone calls. If we don't get to you by 7:30, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program on the SiriusXM side, so please stay with us. Okay, Jim, help me with this. What determines the cost of housing in D.C.? Is it location just like buying a home?
You know, I'd like to step back for half a minute and say that we tip our hat to Linda's organization and to Linda personally. That study is landmark. My only surprise to it is that they didn't come out and find that we are number one in unaffordability. And in answer to your other question, why is rent spiraling so much? In a real sense, it's because big money has discovered D.C. Huge flows of big money have discovered D.C.
When you say big money, what do you mean?
I'm talking about developers, redevelopers, the influx of very affluent people, and I don't have anything problems with affluent people, more power to them, but not if the welcome sign to affluent people in the district ends up being an exit sign to poor, low-income and fixed-income people in the city, and that's exactly what's happening. The city has become commonly referred to as, quote, Hotsville, unquote, USA. Well, that's fine if you happen to be an extremely upper middle class income or wealthy individual. But if you're struggling on minimum wage plus a couple of bucks, if you're even lucky enough to get 10 bucks an hour, which is chicken feed in this world, let's face it, you cannot afford D.C. rental housing. And that makes a mockery of the rent control law.
You know, it's interesting that I remember last year so many discussions about, the Washington, D.C. coffers, being, overflowing with funding, which is certainly, a great thing. Nobody wants a city government that is poor. But a lot of people were saying that the city should also spend money on affordable housing. And these conversations keep going on and on and on and on. And now that we are in the midst of a transition with the political power here in Washington, D.C., and not knowing who will be mayor come this time next year, I'm sure that that will also be a big, big issue. Affordable housing, affordable rental housing in the District of Columbia. If you are on the phone, stay with us. Candace, Tanya, Ozzie, Jay, Paige, all of you, please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a bit on SiriusXM Channel 141.